mentors and teachers and friends for a long time, Carl Sitgraves. This is April the 28th, 1995, and we are interviewing Mr. Sitgraves, who was a trainer for a long time and a teacher and a very well-respected man in the horse industry. Good afternoon, Mr. Sitgraves. How are you?
Fine.
I'm going to ask you some questions about your personal life. First, I want to know your name, where you were born, who your parents were, where you grew up, and all that kind of thing. So I'll give you a chance to give a little bit of a description of your background.
Well, I was born right here, 2931-6. And what else did you want?
I
want
to know when.
1913. January 27, 1913.
Which makes you 82 years old.
Right.
And this is 31 6th Street. It's right close to the racetrack.
One block
away from the racetrack.
Right.
Did you have, who were your father, who was your father and mother? What were their names?
Oh, Sitgraves. My father was named Miles Sitgraves, and my mother was, who was it, baby?
Elizabeth
Sitgraves.
Sitgraves. And did you have brothers and sisters?
Yes.
How many brothers?
Let's see, there's Harry, Booker, and Miles, three.
Three brothers and a sister?
Yeah, Catherine.
Catherine, all right. And you've been in this community then all your life then, right?
Every inch of it, all my life.
Did you go to school in this area?
Right up here. Six and M.
What was it called then? Wasn't G.G. Moore?
G.G. No. Yeah, that's it.
Was it G.G. Moore?
That's right.
Oh, it was G.G. Moore then too.
Yeah.
Then they moved it over on M Street.
Where from?
Well, when I went there, it was
on M
Portables
Street.
On M Street.
Yeah,
is that where
right.
You went to?
No.
So it was was Miss G.G. Moore the teacher? One of the teachers there?
No. No. No.
Do you remember who some of your teachers were when you were there?
Oh. I don't remember, no. I can't hardly remember.
Did you go from G.G. Moore, did you go to junior
Dunbar,
high school?
Dunbar.
Or went to Dunbar?
Yeah.
And then you went on from Dunbar to
Central.
Central.
Yeah, then I quit.
Did you graduate from Central?
No, probably, but I had to go.
Yeah. He made you go down there, you know. And when did you first start getting interested in racehorses?
Well, we didn't have no other alternative out here. No. See, because we could park these cars right out here in these old muddy streets and push them out and one thing or another, and we'd go over and play around in the grandstand and center field when the 41 wall, they had potatoes planted out in there.
Right.
Yeah, and we picked them.
Right.
Yeah.
So in other words, it was just part of your nature, just
right.
Growing
then
up.
Right, then on the backside, when I first started back over there, walking horses and this, that, the other, that's where I went from.
So then it was just part of yours, just
that's right.
Growing up.
Right.
Just like my environment.
Yeah.
That's part of it. If you lived in this area, South Louisville,
right.
You kind of naturally gravitated toward the racetrack.
Right.
When you first went on the racetrack in the first job, that you had on the racetrack. Who did you work for?
I was working for Kay Spence. No, that's when I got able to groom.
I understand.
Yeah, I was for Kay Spence.
When you got able to groom.
Yeah, that's the Audley farm.
Yeah, before you groomed, though, were you hot walking?
Hot walking, I done it all.
You got up on them sometimes?
Gallop horses, done it all.
You did all of it?
Yeah.
But the first official job was the groom job that you had with who?
Audley farm. Yeah, out of Virginia.
I see.
And they had two strings, one in the east and one in down through here.
And which string were you with?
The western string.
The western string. Did you travel with the Audley farm?
To Mexico, all Caliente.
What years was that, Mr.
Because we run a horse in the race was third. Horse called O-O. Oh, I couldn't have been over 20, so.
So that goes back, say, 60 years or so,
well,
right?
Well, see, it's the first place to ever had a $100,000 race.
That was at
Arbor County Landing.
Yeah, in Mexico.
Right. And the first place they ever had a happy place on the back like they got over here. You know where the
kitchen.
Yeah, and basketball and all such stuff.
Recreation room.
Right. First place ever had one.
So you went with Otley out to Caliente.
That's right.
And then did you come on back here after you all went out there and ran?
I stayed out there a year.
You stayed out there a year?
Yeah.
In California?
Yeah. No, Mexico.
Oh, stayed there in Mexico?
Yeah.
Were you working with somebody else there then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just got another job with another stable then,
right? Yeah.
And so then, when did you come back to Louisville then?
I come back about a year later.
About a year later?
Yeah, I just liked it out there. Then you could get across the border and go right up to California.
That's right, San Diego. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So then when you came back then, you were about maybe late teens, early 20s
right,
or something like
right.
that. Did you go back?
18, I got my license.
Oh, you got your license at 18?
Train, yeah.
So when you came back here, then you got your license
right.
to train.
Mm-hmm.
You had learned that much in that short time, then, right?
Yeah.
So that meant you picked up a whole lot then.
Oh,
you had
yeah.
some good teachers.
Well, I could do it all.
You had some good teachers, too,
sure.
right?
Sure. Well,
who was
all
teachers?
Everybody out there. Back then, old Bill lived back here. All that bunch of old timers back there then was good grooms. All of them, yeah.
Oh, and they all lived right around this
yeah,
area.
Yeah, yeah.
So they would take a young guy like you and bring him up
right.
under them and teach him. Then.
Right. They called this the hill then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And but then when I started to training. I don't know the first horse or two. Oh, yeah, I got it for Bob Dunston in 1935 from Milwaukee.
Is that right?
1110 North Folk. I got a picture of it in there.
So you used to, in 1935, you had your
train.
first
right.
horse there.
To train. Yeah, 36. The old timers, trainers, like Milo, all that bunch around out here then. Might be all right, but she won't go nowhere, see? I said, so I got to thinking to myself, I'll go up to Beulah Park, they run a half mile, see?
So you took up to Beulah Park?
Then got a boxcar, and made a stall, and me and Turk Hand, what's Turk, little old Turk's name, baby? Oh, he used to live down here. Right on this Bowman's house and that. But anyway, that's who I took with me.
And y'all went on up to Columbus,
Beulah
Park.
Right.
Grove City, Ohio.
Right. And the first time I run it, she wins.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Right out the box.
Yeah. Right. And paid $11.
Yeah, that's something.
So the boy gave me the purse. It was $300 to the winner, you know. That's all we got. And so you take the purse and here's some money that I bet on it. And I come on back here. Then I went to Chicago. Yeah.
But now, by that time you had
some more
horses.
Yeah, I'm
then,
getting
right?
along then.
Right.
You know,
how many horses did you take to Chicago?
Oh, I have had up to 20.
I see.
But I didn't never want that many.
Yeah.
And but people worrying this, that, the other.
But then when you first got started, after you had that little filly up there,
right.
and you came back and bought some more then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And added to your stable. Well,
right.
Did you always have a public stable?
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
so therefore there were
other people
owned
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
and you did the training,
that's
right?
That's right, yeah. That way you ain't never fired without a job.
I see. So from 1935, how long then did you stay in the training business?
I don't know. When did I quit, baby?
Quit in 79.
In 79. So you were training horses then just about 50 years.
Uh-huh.
That's what you would say.
Yeah.
And then if you counted that other time that you spent with as a groom,
that's right.
and exercise,
17,
and boy, and all this stuff
on,
way back
yeah,
there,
I had it all.
That goes back like maybe 60, 65
that's right.
years.
Mm-hmm. That's so all I ever done.
We're talking, see, that's why I know I'm talking to someone who really understands this industry from in and out, and you can go way back. And you knew some of the old timers,
of course? Oh, yeah. See, that back then you had all, put them 80% black trainers.
80% black
trainers. Yeah, you didn't have very few white folks.
You mean out here with Mr. Elsie Brown? He was
sure. I went to Aurora with him with a horse, see? And the racing, well, he wasn't doing so good, so I went over to Washington Park and told him, I said, Elsie, I'm going to Washington Park because I can get off the ground. I said, there ain't nothing around here. And Scott, you know, I guess you read about Scotty.
Yes.
Yeah, well, me and him, that's when he first come on the racetrack. So, when I get back, Elsie done sold my horse. And told me, he said, now from now on, you don't never give no, and he done gone to Canada, and went to Canada, from there to cook up in New York again. That was where he come from, cooking.
What was the lesson that he gave
you? He told me, he said, don't you never leave no horse with nobody without
the papers.
That's right.
That was a good lesson for you, wasn't it?
But I never will forget that. That's when me and little old Clifford Scott out of Chicago, see, he had $1 million when he got out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clifford Scott became an outstanding trainer. Was he from around here too?
No, he's from Aurora.
Oh, he's from Aurora.
Aurora, and his wife is from New Orleans.
I see.
Yeah, I remember when he was carrying a pitcher around. Me and him used to go around booze, and he went a lot of, he was tap dancing on them shows, you know.
Yeah.
And we had a good time together.
You had a lot of good horses in your lifetime, and name some of them for me.
She knows them all.
I remember you telling me before some of the great ones that you had. You won the Junior Derby.
Yeah, well, then I won that with him. I sold him.
Who was that?
What's his name, baby?
Bob Delight.
Is that his name?
Yeah, Bob Delight.
Bob Dislight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you see, I was training for a breeder.
Okay.
And you couldn't carry no horses back to him. So when you left on the road with them, if they outrun a plane, or if they couldn't get to 4th Street, don't bring them back, don't send them back. In fact, I saw his nephew the day I went to get the license. But anyway, when I called Alton, I said, Alton, see, he would tag all the horses. Like this number, X number of dollars, and that one, and that. I said, this horse is worth more than that. He said, send me that. And I did. And I went on and went to Derby with him, and I sold him up there. She didn't want to sell him.
You had a thing, I remember that as growing up, that we would always say, well, Boo, if he wins one, he's going to sell it.
That's right. That's right.
That was your philosophy,
that's
right?
That's right. That is absolutely
and
right.
And it paid off too, didn't it?
Sure.
You know, you can't keep them around.
No, don't do it. Because too many things can happen.
Right.
Yeah, that same fall, the horse, I sold him to some boys in Detroit, and he died with a twisted intestine.
But you had your money.
That's right. Yeah.
Very few people had that philosophy, weren't they? Especially black people, right?
Well, there's a whole lot of white people.
Yeah, but see, very few black.
No. Well, you don't have many black owners no more now.
Yeah.
No. You had a lot of them nightclub boys that owned them, and people didn't gamble from one thing or another. But for real, they didn't have that resource money.
What were what's some of the changes that you've seen over time as you still close by, and I know you still go over.
There's
been some great changes, haven't
there? Oh, my God. I went over, Sunday, and every other person went in and out as a Mexican. Foreigner, I'll put it that way.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the blacks have been displaced.
Well, you ain't got enough black trainers around here to do nothing.
I know it.
No. And this is another black boy got a horse, he keeps running near to me, doing this, that, the other, and I told him, I said, you hooked in. You done half the horse belongs to this, to your trainer. I said, what avenue you going down? Well, then he was mixed up with Uncle Milton them up here. And they took him to the laundromat. Yeah, sure they did. So, and I told him he was going.
So you see, so what you see it over time is that the blacks are moving on out of race.
Oh, right? yeah, just same as up there at Lexington, Keeneland, yeah. And that's what they, you didn't see a white man hardly doing nothing up there. No,
but I didn't. But now it's all
black.
Foreigners and girls.
Right.
Foreigners and the girls.
That's right.
Yeah, and very few black grooms, very few black exercise boys.
That's right. And no black jocks in a sense.
Oh, well, I don't even know any black jocks.
Well, there's one that's supposed to go right here.
We had this little guy up here. Yeah, well, Sammy, he's still around.
Yeah, but
he's never written anything.
He might have been on TARC.
I interviewed him yesterday.
Yeah.
But he's about the only one, but he never rides. And then that, he told me yesterday that out there where he's been exercising, out of Church Downs Training Center, that there's only two black exercise boys out there on the whole track.
That's right.
And that's how things have fallen off for blacks.
Yeah.
What do you think the problem is there? What happened?
The same problem is they're closing in on everything around us. That's
right.
The same problem.
Right.
Look it out here. Yeah.
In other words, we're just losing out because we're not together.
We won't. First thing about it, we don't like one another.
Right.
Yeah. No, you think that we are just black. That's all. Load of coal. That's all. But
we don't look out for one another.
All is Cleveland. All right. Well, one day I put a horse in, and he put one in the same race. And he come almost getting ruled off.
What happened?
Well, you can't do that.
Oh.
You can't run no two trainers in no one race without claiming. No.
And that's what happened.
Called us all in there.
Which track was this now?
Washington Park.
Washington
Chicago.
Park.
And he was stabling at Lincoln Field. See,
okay.
That's all not too far.
This is before Ted. This is right when Ted started training. You put him in the training then, is that right?
He had a few horses,
right.
See. Then I got him the job with Grim Brown here.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
Because I didn't want to. I didn't want to because them blacks wouldn't let me in the front gate.
So you were in the training business even before Tats was.
Oh, certainly.
Yeah.
Sure, he's riding.
He was exercising.
Horses.
Then, right?
Got horses.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
Sure. Hell, he lived right up there. He married to a woman called Edith. Perosha. And he had a kid or two to burn up down there in Florida.
I remember
in a tent.
I remember that. Right.
Yeah, he's cooking.
And he had those two. Then he got burned in that process too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then he had, of course, Evelyn and Bunny, his other girl.
Yeah.
Was that by the same, Edith? Was that the same one?
No, they done busted.
Oh, they busted.
Yeah,
they done busted. So he had two, three wives.
Yeah,
then, right.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But he's still down there living, I'll tell you. He's 103 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I gave him a job, and I told him when he was with Grim Brown. See, I just didn't like work for him. Because when I went down there to the Fulton, the hotel, and them black dudes, you know how they was, had them, I said, I'm going to see Mr. Brown. I don't care where you're going. You're going back, got to go through the alley and this, that, that. Tell him I was there and forget it.
You couldn't take all that.
No.
Yeah. Well,
so
you never did work. And old man Brown was kind of nasty, too.
Oh, what you talking about?
Yeah.
He didn't get nice till he's ready to die.
I remember him because I used to hang around with Tats and he would come over there. And I didn't like that either. I mean, he would treat you just like you were dirt.
Well, you see, he give his chauffeur a house
supposed to done give it to him downtown there, you know. He had a black chauffeur.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah. But when he died, the house was gone back to Brown.
So the chauffeur didn't even get to the house.
No. No. Now, I remember that well.
What were some of the great things that happened around? I know you traveled a lot.
Yeah.
What circuit did you usually go on when you
I went all the eastern ones, like Cleveland, Detroit, and Chicago.
Cleveland, Detroit,
Chicago. Up there at the River Downs, too.
You went right you went stakes at all those places?
Yeah.
Everywhere you went?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I went at Philly Steak. That's another one that I called Alton about. I was training about at Alton. It's Philly work more on this. And she went at Fertility up there at Thistle Down. So I sold up.
Yeah.
As soon as they would win,
yeah.
Well, I get an offer for them and get rid of them.
I ain't going to get home. I'll tell you how good we done now. We come from a little old farm, much bigger than this house here, and one thing or another, to a 200-acre farm up at Shelbyville. One of these boys over here now is on it.
Right. Mm-hmm. That was your farm.
No, his farm.
Oh,
but me
farm.
And him was, we was. No, I had
partner.
One of my own.
Sort of like partners.
I had one of my own out in Bullitt County.
Oh, you had your own farm then, right?
That's 800 acres.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And raised horses on them?
Yeah, bred some mares and this, that, the other. But, see them black dudes out there, everybody out in there was making moonshine. And it's all drunk by the time I got there. I just got rid of it. And then I'm going to leave him drive out there. And that's it's what you call, they call it Brooks Hill now.
Yeah, 800 acres out
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah. And the man told me down the courthouse, I'd not sell it. What this going to do and blah, blah, blah.
Did you ever any horses that ran in the Triple Crown races?
No.
Mm-mm. Did you ever get, they have that idea that you would get one?
Oh, we had some nominated.
Nominated.
Yeah, they wouldn't fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, just and, nominated.
But some of them ran in some of those races run up, coming up to the Caribbean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so, who would you consider to be the best horse you ever had?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you something, Doc. The best horse to me is the one wins when I'm hungry.
So you never rated him, man. Huh?
No, I don't know. I don't know. We had a bunch of pretty decent horses at times, but the best horse that I believe, I was just looking in there. This horse running 10, and I didn't. I didn't pay him no mind, but they're all pretty good.
So you never did rate them then?
No.
What about the trainers and jockeys? Did you ever rate them? And
I've had
the best ones.
Yeah, Eddie O'Carroll rode for me. So, I got a picture of him there. Sonny Work.
Sonny Workman.
All them boys, and. Everybody was top riders in Chicago around through up there on back east. I had
you would ride it. Yeah. They would ride for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about black jockeys? Did you ever have any black jockeys that you ride?
I didn't deal in no coal.
Yeah.
No.
In other words, making you didn't see too many of them anyway, right?
No, it wasn't too many of them out there when I was coming up, but I don't know.
What about black exercise boys?
Oh,
he was there.
Yeah.
Who were some of the good ones there?
Well, yeah, you got one up there still living, Willard Pinkster.
Right.
Yeah, and he worked for me all for a long time. And
he was good. He broke horses.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Also,
he could
right?
do it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some real good black exercise boys. But I'll tell you, Doc, we just don't stick to one another.
I know it.
Just like I said about Ellis. Not Ellis, but this boy I just mentioned over on Highway, Willard Kingston. Now here we out to the farm at Fern Creek.
And Jack Hines and I put him on in big places. But when I took the horses on out, he told Jack, I ain't gonna charge you much as I did him. Yeah, that's what he told. And Jack come and told me.
And that was the end of you and him, right?
I left him out there. I'll tell you when it was, is when this boy was born. What did they call him, baby?
Ray.
Yeah, when he was born.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Because he brought him out to the stable. And I had an old horse, I had old Gildon, you stand over top of him just like this, and he's standing. Yeah.
If you had some advice to give to somebody who was interested in getting into the horse industry, what kind of advice would you give to them?
Well, I'd tell them to be awful careful who they hired. And of course, you're naturally going to have decent stock. But see, these double cross you so bad. Yeah, they'll sell you out nothing flat.
What do you think about these guys who jumped into horse racing here with all this money, like MC Hammer and
yeah, and all that
and
bunch.
Barry Gordy and that bunch.
Took them to the laundromat too.
You don't see them around.
No.
I think Hammer's not even in it anymore.
No.
Right?
No.
He gave his horses to Wayne Lucas, I think.
Yeah. And, yeah. Wayne Lucas is doing all the, making all the money now. He, had making commercials and everything.
Oh, I saw him on the commercials the other day. Yeah.
Yeah, he's making all, making big bucks, you see. Once you get, but they don't get shot down like me or you.
Right.
No. Mm-mm. They get on the elevator and keep up.
So color makes a difference, doesn't it?
Yep.
Always has and probably always will.
Right. There's just another thing about it. If you wound up with a decent horse, it's pretty good horse, well over claiming. You better have a night watchman, because anything could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything.
And you were always aware of that, didn't
you? Yep.
Because if you don't have somebody watching, somebody slips up men on you. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'd have a different horse when you go to the
You don't ever know what's going on.
No.
On the track, do you?
No, indeed.
People are not honest, especially today.
Mm-mm.
They're not honest. Right.
But now, years ago, them old timers stay up all night and watch a horse.
That's right. Didn't need no light.
No.
The groom was a night watchman.
That's right.
Yeah.
You didn't need nobody sitting around watching in, because them dudes then would make a bunk right out in front of that horse.
What do you think about the use of drugs in the racetrack?
Years ago, they was using, wasn't heroin, let's see, what were they popping them horses with? Heroin?
Morphine?
No, heroin.
Heroin.
On the tongue.
The heroin?
Yeah.
The same one that used to be a street drug then, right?
No, I don't know. But I tell you, we was over in Cuba, and this old man Moody up Shady Brook Farm, he's up there, and he's dead. He had this standard sanitary place over there to make bathtubs and all.
He owned that?
Yeah. And a real fine person. But and then he had this farm up there. But when this old trainer, he lived over here in this place where these cars parked, going to the stable. You remember that old man?
Yeah.
Old man Moody. Jim Moody, and he would, he was putting this stuff in paper and put it on the back. He said, put this on this horse behind, the both hind legs. I said, I didn't know what he was doing. He got here, he had that stuff to put on the tongue. Because he gave me some, I was working for him. He gave me some, told me, said, Carl, it's 2 o'clock or whatever he said, be sure and here it is, and I'll dry his tongue, put it on there. I said, yes, sir, I'll sure do it. And I went on out there at Alton Park and got boozed up and forgot all about it. The horse went from here downtown. And old man Moody told me, he says, boy, you've done a fine job. I said, well, boss, I'm always trying to do one.
You hadn't put nothing
on him. No, he didn't have nothing on him. And that convinced me. That's the last thing I wanted to do.
That's right.
Is hop a horse. Yeah, that's right.
That's right. So in other words, horses run on their own. They
99% of it. Yeah. If he can't run, you can set him on anything. Heroin, cocaine, or you name it. And he ain't gonna do nothing but act a fool.
That's right. And you know, but you see the rise of LASIX and
that all come.
They even run those baby horses for the first time. They put them on drugs.
Yeah,
I guess that's part of the drug culture that we live in.
Yep, like they saw you with these kids,
like the kids
up and down
the street with the drugs.
That's right.
Yeah, we're just part of a drug culture. Well, it's been good talking to you, Mr. Sid Graves, and I'm sure we could talk longer about a lot of your experiences, but I just wanted to get your voice on tape so that we could give this to the museum. And I hope that you have a good day and a long life, and you're still among my favorites of all time, especially someone who is knowledgeable and who served as a mentor to a lot of people in this community. Thank you very much.
Thank you.